Chapter 97. Do you think it's possible to know what someone else is thinking? Robin answered, "If you really want to, yes." Ron said, "I don't understand. If you really want to know my thoughts, they come with a price tag." "How much?" "I don't know. Depends on the situation. Depends on what I want you to know." Ron shifted in the bed. They were dressed. She was sipping wine and reading a play called Ring Around the Moon. "Suppose it's something that you don't want me to know." "Then either you won't find out, or the price will be higher." "Why do you want me to pay?" Robin looked at him with the same eggshell blue eyes that he'd seen when he looked at his father. She smiled and said, "'Cause you fell in love with me." Ron tried to digest that. He loved her. Did he? She held back from him. He mistrusted that. She wanted to exact a price for his trust. He didn't understand, but he should have. "I think the recording sounds smooth and good. I like what you did with the mumbled words and the expletive deleted parts." Robin grinned. "You sounded just like a lawyer." Robin came to class the night that Grant Pritchard played the tape. She was wearing a white wool sweater that had pearly buttons that she left open halfway down. She wore boots and jeans. Ron was wearing yesterday's clothing. He listened to the tape at least a dozen times. He wished they had another shot at it, but Robin told him to leave it alone. The class listened very quietly. Ron and Robin looked at each other as the tape played. When it ended, Grant Pritchard said, "I want you to notice some of the things before we listen to this again. Now remember, Nixon knew that he was on tape, and he's a skillful lawyer. Dean did not know that he was on tape and thought he was speaking with attorney-client privilege. Nixon asks how much money they would need to pay off the blackmailers, and Dean tells him $1 million. Nixon very carefully says that it could be gotten, that he knows how to get it. Someone might leave that conversation and think they had been told to pursue that avenue. But Nixon never actually says that is what he wants Dean to do. He retains deniability." A student asked, "Wasn't he just exploring options?" Pritchard nodded. "That is exactly what he makes it sound like he is doing. Now, in earlier parts of the conversation, Dean talks about the things that the plumbers had done. They mention the burglary of Daniel Ellsberg's doctor's office. The attempt there was to discredit the Pentagon Papers. But it was only one of the things they had done. They used prostitutes, buggings, and infiltration of the opposition's organization. It is clear that they also infiltrated anti-war groups. In other words, there was a widespread attempt to compromise the opposition and dissent." Ron said, "So when we thought we were being followed and had people join us who were there to make trouble, we weren't mistaken." Pritchard laughed. "No, you aren't paranoid if they are truly after you." The class laughed, and Ron felt old. He'd been in college longer than most of the people in the room, and many of them had been in high school when he'd been involved in the moratoriums. He didn't find it funny that he and others had tried to stop mass killing and had been characterized as anti-American. It made him angry. Watergate might be the biggest "I told you so" that he could have imagined, but his classmates seemed to think of it more as a game. Pritchard turned their tape on again, and Ron and Robin found each other's eyes. She had been tense during the laughter because she could see what he was thinking, written on his face, and she knew that he wasn't above admonishing them, and that was always counterproductive. After class, Pritchard said, "Ron, you did a great job with this tape, and Robin, thank you so much for donating your time to the effort." They both beamed the way that they did when they got applause. On the way home in the car, Robin said, "That was a lot of fun." Ron smiled. "You were worried I was going to say something, weren't you?" "I'm always worried that you were going to say something. Accepting compliments isn't exactly your strong suit. For someone who craves approval as much as you do, it amazes me that you respond so poorly to it." Ron grinned. "I'm better than I used to be." She shook her head and laughed again. "Yes, it wasn't as bad as the drama festival when they gave us an award and you got up and told them that we flubbed the lines and jigsawed the scene back together." Ron blushed. "That was really stupid, and you're never going to let me forget about it, are you?" "Only if you promise to never do it again," said Robin.